Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, one of your dynamic co-hosts. And today we're having sort of a different program because Bill had to be out. And so it's simply Cher and I, and Cher and I sharing our wisdom today. Hi, Cher.
Hi. Yes, I love the name Cher because that's what I love to do is share.
And you do. You do.
I please share a whole ton of information. Share a whole ton.
So tell us about yourselves.
So Bill and I, as most of our listeners realize, we are the co-owners, co-founders of the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening, which is an online ministry, and you can find us at yourspiritualpractice.com.
Yourspiritualpractice.com.
Yes, and we specialize in spiritual practices that are practical that you can build right into your lifestyle. That's really what we help people do.
Yes. Yeah. So you're really good. You're really good at that. You guys.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And so my stuff can be found at paulhasselbeck.com, where you'll find the absolute word. We end each program with the absolute word, as well as my calendar and what's going on. I have a little special announcement at the at our break. We pivot from the laws to Reverend Bill's book.
Unplugged and unedited.
Unplugged and unedited. That's right. That's right. So today, during the first segment, we're looking at, as we've been doing, law, and the spiritual law informs us of how our mind works, how to use our minds. Today, it's the law of spiritual growth. We'll see where that takes us. Then we'll have our my announcement, and then we're going to pivot to Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. And before we do any of that, we have to say it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
It's another beautiful day in my consciousness, and I can affirm that it's another beautiful day in Bill's consciousness as well, even though he's not here with us physically.
And we're knowing for our listeners, regardless of what's happening in their life, it's always a beautiful day in their consciousness.
Absolutely.
And so it is. Let me pull up my information sheet for today. Do you have yours up?
I do. Ready to go on growth, spiritual and mental growth. We're going to start with Charles Fillmore, and he's talking from Keep a True Lent. For those who are looking up these resources and want to keep track of them, it's in this book, it was on page 158. And here's what he says about this particular law. Divine law is the universal something in us of which we all are conscious. Don't you just love this? This is very woo-woo. The way he phrases it, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. However, it's acknowledging where it is at.
Yeah, I love it. Actually, it's very descriptive. For Charles, it's very understandable.
Yeah, it's that universal something.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure we're all conscious of it.
That's true.
Right?
But I guess at times we are, because he says it tells us when we're doing right and when we're doing wrong. May be defined as the innate knowing of right and wrong, and this knowing may be quickened. Quickened meaning it may be developed or strengthened. It's an old-fashioned word that people don't always understand. But I love that even without having the words to describe it, we know it's there. We don't always listen to it or pay attention, but I think we all know within us, we have a feeling when something's right or something's wrong.
Yes. So I'm wondering if I would call that a law.
He's calling it divine law in general, I guess. Is that, am I reading that right?
So why don't we read that whole thing?
Okay, let me start from the beginning again and read it straight through all the way to the end. He just threw me when I got a little distracted by his clear language. Okay, divine law is the universal something in us of which we all are conscious, and tells us when we are doing right and when we are doing wrong. It may be defined as the innate knowing of right and wrong, and this knowing may be quickened. The quickening or development or strengthening does not come by the study of material things, but by concentrating the mind on the Christ. Man does not make the law, The law is, and it was established for our benefit before the world was formed. There is a law of spiritual and mental growth constantly at work in the mind, raising man from sense consciousness to spiritual consciousness. The nature of the universe is purity and goodness. Abiding in the Christ consciousness, man aligns himself with divine law. He becomes the light of the world.
I really wouldn't call this a law. This to me is where they're using law in reference to something I would call principle. Mm-hmm. Because it's talking about this innate ability for us to know by concentrating on the mind of Christ, concentrating the mind on the Christ. And what is the Christ? It's the principle that contains principles. That's his clearest definition. And it's also found in Keep a True Lent. And then man does not make the law is. So I would say man or humankind does not make principle. The principle is, and it was established for our benefit before the world was formed. Well, that last one, we have lots of struggle. There's a lot we wouldn't go with there, because this is based on Fillmore's more biblical framework, mm-hmm. that God is creator and God pre-exists physicality, and we're moving more in the direction that, at least I am, physicality and consciousness are fundamental, just as principle and law are fundamental. They've mm-hmm. all three have always existed as three aspects of a unity, is what I would call it.
Yeah. And you know, Bill and I had a discussion about this not too long ago, just how hard it is for people to grasp the concept of no beginning.
Yes.
I mean, in our awareness, that's a really hard thing to wrap your head around.
So I hadn't really experienced that until just recently. I forget where I was, but people struggle with that idea. So that is an unquestioned belief, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's an unquestioned answer. It's presumed there was a beginning, and and that implies there's going to be an end at some point.
Right. And there has to be a creator for the beginning. And yet, who created the creator? You always get into that circular discussion.
Well, so in this ties for me in our creating God as a superhuman that's just like us, mm-hmm. because we believe, a lot of people believe we're created in God's image and likeness. And really, that's backwards. We've created God in our image and likeness. Paul
right.
Hasselbeck, right? Hasselbeck has a beginning. Paul Hasselbeck has an end. Who created Paul but God?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And think of all the stuff we do in life. I create all kinds of things. I create books like you guys do, and you create books about spiritual law and spiritual principle, more about spiritual application. You are the king and queen of that. And so there's a beginning of the process, there's the end of the process. You and Bill are the creators. You see what I'm saying? So it's difficult for us because of our human form and seeing what happens in physicality. Difficult to think that there aren't beginnings and ends.
And you know, that's interesting, because it just using a book as the analogy or like a metaphor for this, there's the beginning with the idea and how do you decide where that begins? And then of course you actually put it into progress and you create the book and you think that's the end. But as any author knows, and I know you'll agree as an author yourself, that really the work begins when the book is published. That's actually a beginning. That's an end of one process, but it kicks right into a new process that continues to grow. And maybe that's the whole idea of no beginning. It's not that there's no beginning. It's just that there are lots of beginnings.
So I think we should start talking about it as a continuing or an ongoing.
Yeah.
We're continuing, we're ongoing, because that book is a really good example. So I'm finishing a book, right? Mm-hmm. And then the writing of the book ends, then the editing of the book begins, okay? And then the publishing and that end. Then finally I have the book and I'm marketing the book around the country. Right. There's other books, I call it circling the airport in my brain. desiring to be landed in my consciousness. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. and so this, it all does begin with an idea, though, a desire to do something of some sort, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah, so this is really, really a fascinating thing. And I do believe that the principles within us, whether we're aware of them or not, create a kind of urge or desire to be better. And that's all about being better is doing right and not doing wrong. And right. I'm sure we have people, and we have Unity people that just great at right, wrong, up, down, higher consciousness, lower consciousness, mm-hmm. all of that. And those are frameworks I have no trouble with.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So if we look at spiritual and mental growth, we're saying that's a principle then.
Yeah. So it is not a law.
Okay.
It is not a law. And what's really interesting, you brought up the law by mentioning idea, because the law is mind, idea, expression.
That's
and
right.
That's how everything comes into existence. And then he says, this is really good. The nature of the universe is purity and goodness. And just because of the context, I think Charles there is referring to the nature of the spiritual universe. And there is a principle of purity, and there is a principle of goodness that is the principle of benevolence. Benevolence. Mm-hmm. And then he says, abiding in the Christ consciousness. So abiding in that highest consciousness possible based on the principle that contains principles, humankind aligns itself with divine principle, not with divine law.
Right.
Right? Right. I want to see if we can get this last quote in from the 12 powers.
Right. Charles talks about it again in the 12 powers, and he says, there is a law of spiritual and mental growth constantly at work in the mind, a law that is raising man from sense consciousness or Egypt to spiritual consciousness or Canaan. Moses means drawn out and represents its scripture, symbology, this progressive or drawing out process, which works from within out. As applied to the universe, this upward trend of all things is called by material science the evolutionary law. In our spiritual interpretation, we observe the working of the law in the individual, because by that method we can bring home the lesson.
Yeah, so this agrees with what we're talking about. We've earlier talked about the law of evolution. And so this is really about principle. However, we could also call it a premise. There's this fundamental premise that we are growing and evolving spiritually. Mm-hmm. Not on a straight line.
Definitely not a straight line.
Right? You got to think of the way the stock market goes up. It goes up mm-hmm. in a jagged line. Well, we mm-hmm. make progress, we backslide, we make progress, we backslide. And sometimes the backslide is important because we become aware of stuff that gets in the way, and then we resolve that, we transform it, we grow, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. That's the value too of plateaus, I think, like stair steps.
Yeah.
You need time to synthesize all the learnings that you've had and make them part of your habitual way of thinking. And then you're ready for the next big growth.
Exactly. And a lot of that happens unconsciously. So I used to be, when I was on the flat part of the stairs, the stair step, I would think nothing was happening when right. everything is integrating at that point. What was the word you
yes.
used that was really good?
Synthesizing
and integrating, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Both those words really kind of put them together. That's what's happening. And if we don't allow that, that's when we may have big surges, but then we have a big drop.
Yes.
It's like your sugar. You know, if you eat a donut, you're going to have a big sugar rise, but then you're going to have a crash.
Absolutely.
But if you eat regularly, like good fruit, then you're going to have that good process going.
Yeah, it's still going to go up and down, but not as dramatically, right?
Right, and we don't want the big dramatic drops.
We do not. So this is probably a good point to pivot so we don't start another law. And I just want to announce to people that I am going to be appearing on Ellen Debenport's program on Unity Online Radio, where Metaphysical Romp used to be hosted. And that's going to be for the next 4 Tuesdays from 11 to noon. It's live. If you can call in at 816-251-8255. 3555, 816-251-3555. I'm going to actually put that at the top of my website at paulhasselbeck.com. Call in for questions. There's four big topic areas. The one for tomorrow, which is January 8th, is on the absolute stuff that's found in Charles's writings. So come join us at that table.
Congratulations on that. That's exciting.
Yeah, so I'm excited to be going back on the network for a while to do that for Unity. So where are we going on Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited? And unfortunately, we don't have the man himself.
We get to say whatever we want today. We can interpret Bill however we want to interpret Bill.
It can be Sharon Paul unedited. Okay, so where are we going?
Okay, well, I'm thinking on page 188, he talks about truth principles. And since we've been talking about principle and law, it might be interesting to see how Bill wrote about it when he wrote the book versus the way we talk about it on the show and the way you're presenting it in your books. Maybe we can find some, there's probably different perspectives knowing the three of us.
I think that's a great idea. So
it's page 188 and it's right there called Truth Principles. And here's what Bill said. When you get to it, I would like you to read the last statement in this paragraph aloud. Well, we're going to be doing that.
Yep.
Before you do, though, raise your right hand, place your right palm over your right ear. So I want all the listeners to do this right now. Take your right palm and put it over your right ear. And we do this in our workshops a lot. The reason we have you do this is because what you're about to hear, in this case, because we're going to say it out loud, is so important to your health, wealth, and happiness that we don't want it to go in one ear and out the other.
That is so Bill. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so are you ready?
I am.
I'm going to trust that you've honored these instructions and you got your palm over your ear. Your spiritual growth and human happiness are not so much limited by unanswered questions as they are unquestioned answers. You will not fully understand deeper truths from a neck up only perspective.
Wow. So that second to last sentence, we kind of got to unquestioned answers in the first segment.
Yeah, we say that a lot on the show.
Yeah, we do. And I don't think we can say it enough. When we say it on the show, we're usually also in an example. And that helps people understand maybe our own process. I mean, I had to question my belief in God as creator and as the beginning in order to get where I'm at now.
Right.
I head up, I think Bill's referring to beliefs we haven't questioned.
Probably, yeah. And heart, it has to include our heart. It's not just our brain because we think things through. And we're not talking about the biological heart and brain, right, as much as our awareness that comes from that deeper intuitive part of us, as well as our thinking processing part of us.
Yeah,
those so come together.
So there's that inner knower, right? Mm-hmm. The inner knower, and then we have our thinking nature and our feeling nature, and we have to learn ways to work them together.
Right. And that's important. I'm not sure he called that truth principles, but he didn't really define truth principles there. He's more talking about how we process the principles we know as truth.
Yes.
And that's an interesting phrase in itself, the principles we know as truth, because that always is being questioned also.
Yes.
And if you don't question it, then your own truth has become your own dogma.
I've started to move away from the word truth. It's, first of all, it's too vague, it's overworked, and it has a lot of negative connotations for people.
Everybody
thinks it has its truth. I like to say we have teachings, and I like to think of the principles and laws we're talking about on this show are immutable and not changeable, and yet we have to be willing to question that.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, the laws and principles probably are immutable and unchanging. Our awareness and understanding of them is really what changes.
Yeah, it's so we're evolving into a deeper understanding of them. And that requires us questioning them as well, right?
Yeah, and if we don't do that, we get stuck.
Yeah. And I'll say to people, this came up in as I was reading something I wrote a long time ago in Point of Power. And we don't say it enough. We do not get a strong spiritual life by empowering our weakest points.
Wow. So talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, so what we do is we have all these old beliefs we live from that we already know, and yet we keep living from them. And so we live our lives from weakness to weakness, trying to get strong, and you can't do that. The way we get strong is by focusing on our strongest assets, our strongest points, and living from those. So you don't get an enlightened life by living from your unlightened belief system.
That's such a powerful way to look at it, because so much is taught from, get in there and find out what you're not good at, what is your weakness, and work on it and build it. And then we ignore the very thing that could give us the power.
Yeah. And we all have natural, what I would call, I forget where I got this from. In Monopoly, there's a free space or something like that where nothing happens. So our gifts are our free space. And we discount them because we didn't have to work hard for them, but they're as valuable or more valuable for our spiritual growth.
Yeah, and we often take them for granted. We just think that they don't mean anything, and yet that's the very thing that, that can bring us the aha.
I had the question, so I grew up in a family where working hard was valued, and if it came easily to you, it wasn't valued.
Right. Yep.
And that's a belief I had to blow up. I had to question it. What's that about? Right.
Right.
Wow.
That's a great one all by itself. That one makes a good aha for people to just take back and think about with themselves.
You don't get a strong life by empowering your weakest points.
Right.
That's basically the short version. Okay. It's time for us to pivot to the absolute word. This absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And so this is from Sunday, January 6th, which in Christendom is Epiphany, which is, we call it Three Kings Day. It's when the three kings arrive to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So the affirmation is, I celebrate new possibilities now born in me. I celebrate new possibilities now born in me. Epiphany is the Christian feast commemorating the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Having followed a star, they came to worship him, bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Epiphany, also called Three Kings Day, falls 12 days after Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. It is another time to recognize the Christ in me. Metaphysically, the Magi represent my intuitive wisdom, honoring the truth in me. Gold celebrates the riches of spirit, divine ideas. Frankincense recognizes the beauty of spirit, while myrrh symbolizes the timelessness of spirit. While my divine identity is so much more than my human self, my divinity is not separate from my humanity. In fact, I use my human self to reveal my divinity and more of my spiritual purpose. I celebrate new possibilities now born in me. And I like that the word epiphany, it not only is it the holiday, but an epiphany is like, we would call it an aha today. Right?
Absolutely. I had an epiphany. A big aha.
Okay, friends. So this wraps up another edition of gromping around our virtual kitchen table, right? We hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening to Metaphysical Romp 2. And I thank Cher today and Bill in his absence. So thank you, Cher, and goodbye.
Thank you, and goodbye. And don't forget to listen to Paul tomorrow on the radio, and go to our website to check out our retreat.
Yes, absolutely. Goodbye, all.